Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin, your source for real estate investment jewels of wisdom.
Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show. I'm your host, Dan Breslin, and this is episode 174 on Jacksonville, Florida turnkey rental properties with Greg Cohen. If you're into real estate investing and building wealth, congratulations, you are in the right place. The REI Diamond Show is a wide-ranging conversation of all things real estate investing. My goal here is to invite high-caliber guests who specialize in building wealth, such as real estate investors and other industry service providers, and then draw out the jewels of wisdom, those tactics, mindsets, and methods used to create millions of dollars and more in the business of real estate. Today, we are joined by Greg Cohen, the founder of JWB Real Estate Capital, a large and longstanding provider of turnkey rental properties in Jacksonville, Florida. We discuss everything from easily and passively scaling a rental portfolio to why you should even invest in the Jacksonville, Florida market. Throughout the episode, you're going to notice my genuine enthusiasm about Greg's product and market throughout the show, as Jacksonville is a market I personally intend to invest in during 2021 and beyond. Please enjoy this conversation between Greg and I.
All right. Welcome to the show, Greg. How you doing today?
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with the JWB Real Estate Capital creation story. How'd you get started? What's the business look like today?
Well, you know, I started with a very different path. I actually graduated from college and thought I was going to corporate America to live up my dream of working up the corporate ladder. And so that's what I did originally. Went to go work there for about a year and a half and quickly learned that it just wasn't the right place for me. And while I was there, you know, I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. So while I was there, a friend turned me on to that amazing book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I remember reading that book and just telling myself that I was going to quit my job and start to invest in rental properties and build my own real estate investment company. And so I grabbed one of my best friends, and that's what we did. We really didn't have any experience, any knowledge, but we started to learn and really started to learn from mentors that had been there before. And, you know, before we knew it, we started to buy our own rental properties, and we acquired about 40 rental properties back in 2006 and 2007. And since then have really focused on building up our own portfolio as well as helping others across the country and across the world start to do that as well. So, we get to manage those portfolios for thousands of investors now. They invest with us here in Jacksonville, Florida and do all the property management for them. So it now can become a passive income stream for them like it has become for me.
Nice. Yeah. I started similar. I remember reading the Rich Dad Poor Dad thing, and I remember telling some friend of mine, I think there was like a guy that owned a paving company, and there was, he owned a couple of restaurants, and he had this whole like plethora of businesses. And I remember like repeating that same kind of thing. And then took me another 5 or 6 years later. I think I was like 19 at the time. I read it when I was 26, and then shortly thereafter, within a year, kind of started the same thing. That was right around 2006 too for me. So how about that? That the stories coincide there is pretty cool.
Oh man! And anybody who started in 2006, who is here today and has, you know, survived and thrived, what happened for the next few years? I feel like we've lived at least two or three lifetimes in real estate and
yeah,
the benefit of it, because we see the perspective of when markets, what happens if a market goes down, if a market goes up, we see how to survive and thrive and create passive income in no matter what market that comes your way.
Yeah, you're right about that. So I know, but the listeners probably don't, that you are in Jacksonville, Florida. So why would I want to invest in Jacksonville, Florida real estate?
Well, I think that's a great question, because if you're a rental property investor, you have a few options out there as far as, you know, maybe a handful of markets that have low prices and high rents. And we call those the cash flow markets. And you know, investors are attracted to those cash flow markets, right? A lot of them are in the you know, Midwest or, you know, Jacksonville here in the Southeast. There's a few. But a lot of investors focus solely on the cash flow. So when we're thinking about the Jacksonville market, what I share with people is your job as an investor is to get the best risk adjusted return on your investment. And in rental properties, there's more than just positive cash flow as a profit center. There's actually five profit centers, and you need to look at all of them if you want to do the best job of getting the best risk adjusted return on investment. And if you're investing for a full market cycle, what you'll find is that positive cash flow is actually one of the smallest contributors to your overall profit, especially if you're financing. It's really important, but it's not the end all be all. You need to look at all five. And so when you look at all five, including property appreciation and tax savings and principal pay down and inflation hedging, as well as positive cash flow, that's where Jacksonville shines. So Jacksonville has home prices that are 27% below the national median. Our rents are 1% above the national median. But we've appreciated at a rate that is 34% more than comparable cash flow markets out there since 1991. And so the reason to come to Jacksonville is because it's a balanced play where you can get both positive cash flow and above average home price appreciation.
What are the five ways you make money? I had the appreciation, positive cash flow, the tax benefits, and what were the other two?
We've got positive cash flow, tax savings, principal pay down, property appreciation, and inflation hedging.
Can you define inflation hedging?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's investments out there like real estate where you're protected against the effects of inflation. Right. Over time, your dollar gets devalued as the cost of goods and services around you goes up. Well, in rental properties, the things that drive income and return for you generally go up as well with inflation, like rent or like home values. And so this is a hedge against inflation, whereas in other assets, they might not go up with inflation. And so your investment return could be devalued simply by inflation. But in rental properties, you don't have that because your income sources and your profit sources generally also go up with inflation.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So we just had Paul Sloat give us the U.S. economic forecast. He's an economist out of Philadelphia area where I grew up. And one of his things, you know, we got into the 5 to 10 year time horizon. He said, yeah, it's probably going to be a decade of big inflation. And my action item, Greg, was, okay, I'm glad I bought the rental properties that I bought, and I got to buy some more for that very reason that you just talked about. The hard assets are, you know, probably going to keep pace with inflation. In one sense, I guess that's kind of, you know, the one form of appreciation there. But that's my big action item lately, right? We're 2020. We're in some uncertain times, certainly. It's a very unique time with COVID occurring, interest rates, and everything that's going on. But I see no reason why anyone should stop buying real estate right now at this moment in time.
Yeah, and inflation is your best friend as a rental property investor, assuming you take out debt as well, because then the effects of inflation actually work even more in your benefit. Because what happens is, in addition to your rental income going up and your home price appreciation generally keeping pace with inflation, so you're sort of protected there against inflation, what also happens is the debt that you borrowed, because you're paying it many years down the road, you're paying it back with devalued dollars. So it's almost like this inflation hedging on steroids if you actually take out the debt as well. So I'm with you, buddy. I'm gobbling up as much as I can. Our investors are too.
Yeah, and my main business is buying, fixing, selling, buying, and immediately selling. And we've done, I think, 247 deals so far this year. We've got another month. We're hoping to, you know, plug, probably won't get another 50 in by the end of the year, but, I don't hold as many as your business model does, but like I am, when I buy my rental properties, I buy them, and the listeners on the show, you know, hear me talk about my investment philosophy a lot, but I try to find these niche markets and niche areas that I think are going to go up in, value, you know, sooner rather than later, and kind of pick the micro markets. versus just buying something that's convenient for me, right? So I have property, a lot of property that I've never seen before. And I imagine the thousands of clients that JWB serves also have never seen the property. At least a good chunk of them have probably never put hands on, touched the property. But the old school way of investing, certainly in 2006 and before when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I could never fathom buying something that I wasn't going to touch. But I'm more comfortable analyzing my risk or adjusting for my risk by paying attention to the exact location of the real estate. And so I picked these kind of tertiary areas in the city of Philadelphia where the appreciation is strong. You know, there's a lot of investment, the gentrification's going on, and I'm buying outside the typical gentrification borders, hoping for the advance in growth. And I do something similar in Chicago, but I imagine that in the entire country, Jacksonville would kind of fit the same way. If we're looking at the entire country, do you guys also have not just Jacksonville, the entire city, but are there also some niche markets that these rentals are available and that you guys are buying intentionally? Or is it kind of like a blanket anywhere there's a deal and the rents make sense, we're going to go ahead and put that to work?
Yeah. Actually, we're extremely specific about the neighborhoods that we invest in. If you could believe it, we've been investing in the same four neighborhoods in Jacksonville ever since I bought my first rental property back in 2006. And we've literally bought over 3,000 properties. And they are in these four neighborhoods in Jacksonville. And we just dominate. Now, Jacksonville is a big city. So it's not like we're just a small city here. We're actually the largest city by land by square miles in the contiguous 48 states. So we're a big city, but there's four neighborhoods that we invest in. And it's because you have to get into these cash flow sweet spot neighborhoods where you have low prices. So we know Jacksonville is a low price market overall, but we have to have lower prices than the median, even in Jacksonville. We have to have high rents and we need to be surrounded by jobs. And quite frankly, we do the property management for all of our clients as well in-house. And so we need to make sure that we're in a neighborhood that we want to manage your homes, because sometimes you can find low prices, high rents, but not be in a neighborhood you want to manage homes. So we really have to find the sweet spot, and we just absolutely dominate there.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we're talking turnkey rentals. I'm playing the role of never going to step in foot in Jacksonville to see the property, and I'm contacting JWB and I'm asking about, you know, hey, I want to buy the first property. What are the pros and cons of buying turnkey rental properties?
Well, if we're talking about buying turnkey rental properties, should we do pros and cons versus other assets, or should we do pros and cons versus maybe being more active and buying them yourselves, like buying rental properties yourself, which is better?
Let's go with pros and cons of me buying in Jacksonville versus driving down the street where I can see my rental property. So we'll assume that I'm sold already on the business of real estate, like putting my money to work in rental houses. But why should I get comfortable with buying these houses in Jacksonville that, for me, I think we're like 800-900 miles away, let's say, and probably anyone listening too?
Well, and that's a great question too. So, you know, and a lot of folks first start to look in their backyard and they say, well, you know, should I invest there versus should I invest with somebody that I might not know and might not trust yet, you know, in a place like Jacksonville? You know, the first thing to do is to look at the market and compare them objectively, right? Let's not get emotional, or let's not get, you know, how close we are to that property and figure out and not figure out if the numbers work, right? So the easiest thing to figure out if your local market works is if you're looking at home prices. Go and see if you have below median home prices compared to the U.S. Do you have above median rents? And do you have higher than normal home price appreciation, higher than average home price appreciation across your market compared to the U.S.? So if your local market hits that locally, well, then you might want to consider your local market. At least it's a possibility. But then the next thing is you got to figure out what's more important to you, right? If you're going to be the person who's out there finding the property, renovating the property, right, managing a contractor, maybe doing your own property management, or at least kind of finding your own property manager, and doing all that, you are going to spend a lot of your own time doing it. And you're also going to have teammates that might not all have the goals aligned with you or with themselves. And so what you set yourself up for is the normal way that people invest in rental properties, which is it's challenging, it's hard. Your property manager might not see it the same way the realtor you worked with to buy the property sees it. And so they have different numbers, and ultimately you might be stuck in the bag. And this is what's really kind of kept people away from rental properties in the past. Dan, I was looking up a stat on this was a Gallup poll. Would you believe this? They asked investors, what do you think the best long-term investment is for you? And they compared real estate, stocks, bonds, CDs, gold, all that. Real estate was the most popular choice by far. Hmm. So everybody said real estate was the most popular choice. Then they asked those same investors, what do you have in your own portfolio? And out of that, real estate was not the number one choice or the number two choice, the number three choice, or the number four choice. It was the fifth most popular choice behind gold and behind bonds and behind CDs.
Wow.
So what that communicates to everybody is that people think it's hard and people haven't had a good experience doing it the normal way. So pros and cons, if you're going to do it yourself, first make sure the market works. If you're going to do it yourself, you're going to put a lot of work into it, most likely. And now that's on the con side. On the pro side, you may be able to get a better deal, right? You may be able to find something under market value. And that may make the return better for you. You might have some more risks and whatnot, but that would be on the pro side. If you're going to do it the turnkey route, you know, you've got to put your time and your due diligence to make sure that partner is somebody that you can trust, somebody whose goals align with yours, that they're making more money when you're making more money. And, you know, the pros to it is that number one, you can get a great return on investment. Number two, it's scalable. Right. You can build a portfolio of 3, 5, 10, 20 rental properties and still have your day job, you know, and not spend hours each month managing it. And then what this can do is just create a more well-balanced overall financial portfolio for people. Most people just have way too much money in the stock market. They're too susceptible to variations there. And if you can invest in a turnkey rental property or a portfolio of turnkey rental properties, now you can create a portfolio that is balanced and has a consistent asset class in there that's not tied to the stock market. And, you know, that helps a lot of people sleep better at night.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, when we talk about those, the fifth most popular investment being real estate, maybe your experience was similar, but my experience was actually owning rental property first, but I was doing real estate deals for years and kind of sold on the fact that that was number one and really, you know, totally absorbed that. Now my portfolio looks different than that, and I have some money in the stock market, and I have money in my main business, and I have money in, you know, the Chicago real estate market, and I have money in the Philadelphia real estate market. And these are all different, like, buckets of savings, if you will. And I think for me, or what I would guess would be the reason that we might see that at number five versus number one is the barrier to entry when you're buying real estate is a little bit higher. So, like, I can go into the stock market with $500, $1,000. I could buy a gold coin for $1,000. But real estate, I'm probably going to need to put, you know, for something that's going to be renovated and turnkey and solid, something, a reliable quality asset, right, that I assume you're going to put together for me, Greg. How much money am I going to have to put down on that deal to get into the door?
At a minimum, about $40,000, assuming you're using conventional financing.
Gotcha. So, you know, the barrier to entry there might be a little higher for a lot of people to kind of push them down the pike. And then it's a little bit illiquid, too. But, like, my own experience, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I would fall in love with these little micro portfolios, like buy 4 houses here, buy 8 houses there. And I don't have a ton of them, but they came with tenants and I don't want to rock the boat. And they're not houses that, you know, inside I would have to renovate them when they finally move out. And I fix things right away. And I go above and beyond when I'm doing my repairs. You know, I don't skimp out or anything like that, but they're not quality renovated assets. But on the flip side of that, some of them only had a few years. And I bought for, say, $65,000, and, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years later, with whatever my down payment was on that specific house, but I was able to sell them in as is condition because the market moved for like $95,000, $105,000, a couple of them. So we're talking about, you know, doubling and tripling of whatever that down payment was on that specific house. And that's kind of the, you know, the added benefit of the leverage and, you know, in a rental real estate, as an asset class. You guys are doing a ton of deals, right? And, you know, we sort of touched on you're renovating them, but can you kind of like talk through the product that you're offering as a turnkey?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we started in 2006, as I mentioned in the beginning. You know, we at first, of course, were buying our own properties to build this model out for ourselves. And, you know, people were starting to pay attention. And really about 2010 or so is when our business, I would say, kind of maybe hit the next level. And we started to really, you know, sell properties on maybe about a couple hundred properties, turnkey properties at that point. All through that point, we're selling renovated homes. And then in 2011, you know, we were at basically the bottom of the Great Recession. Prices were incredibly low. Nobody wanted anything to do with real estate. No home builders were building anything. And so my business partners and I looked and we said, what if we could buy land and we could build a new construction property? Do you think that we could get in for our clients to be in at the same price as if they purchased a renovated home from us? And the answer was yes. And we said, if we did that, how much of a better experience would it be for the renter, the resident, right? Would we be able to get rent premiums for new construction homes? And I was thinking about what I rented when I was in college, and I said I was never able to rent a brand new home. I surely would have paid more for a new construction home to rent. And so we were able to get that. And so we went very strong. We were actually a pioneer in the build-to-rent space for turnkey rental properties back in 2011. We've continued to do that. Actually, we were recognized on the front page of the Wall Street Journal for build-to-rent in 2013. And since then, we have continued to acquire thousands and thousands of lots. And so we also still do renovations, although that inventory, there's certainly a shortage out there. But brand new construction homes are what we have built to create our own inventory for our clients. And so these are brand new homes. They are, you know, either 3 or 4 bedroom homes, 2 bathrooms, open floor plans with garages, and maybe somewhere between 1200 to 1800 square feet. And those homes, sell for between 180 to about 210,000. And with the rent that we're able to get, we are able to achieve the same types of return on investment, but we have inventory, and of course it's brand new construction, which lowers your maintenance cost and has a better renter experience. And so we're able to have inventory, whereas a lot of markets across the country just don't have it, right? And that's why you're seeing a lot of turnkey providers out there go out of business. They can't source the inventory and still make the numbers work.
Do you think you're ever going to see a time where that's the case, or will you end up renovating into some newer neighborhoods? What would be the kind of the time horizon for you guys? Do you feel like your model is sustainable through the long term, or will at some point, you know, no more product becomes available and you guys are a high quality management company for the portfolio that you've built over 10, 20, 30 years? I mean, what would that look like?
Well, we've been around for 15 years. And we get asked all the time, are we going to go to other markets to find inventory, right? Because that's what a lot of turnkey companies do. That's why you see them expanding now, because they can't find inventory. You know, we've taken a different approach. We have a whole section of our business is devoted to what's coming next in Jacksonville. And we do this because our commitment to our clients is that we're going to have years of runway for them to be able to purchase. It's going to put them in a position of strength to hit their goals. It's going to put our company in a position of strength. So we're devoted to what's coming next. We've done this a few times now and had just incredible successes. You know, the brand new construction was something that was never done before, that now is even the big guys are all about brand new construction, build to rent. But that really started with us back in 2011. Since then, we built out the townhome model as well. So new construction townhomes work as a way to make sure that we can see what's coming next and have inventory. Even lately, we've been getting a lot of buzz here in Jacksonville because we're trying something brand new that's never been done, it's shipping containers. So we built our first brand new shipping container apartment in downtown Jacksonville, and we're out there looking for ways to make sure that we can continue to source inventory and to lower build costs and to be green, for better for the environment. And so we just built our first brand new shipping container apartment. So we're an innovator, and our commitment is to stay here in Jacksonville. And in order to stay here in Jacksonville and to continue to provide a runway for our clients, we have to be on the verge of what's coming next. So to answer your question, that's our charge, is to make sure that we don't run out of investment opportunities for our clients. And we're not. That's we've built our business around making sure we're a few steps ahead.
So we were introduced by a mutual friend, Jason DeBono, and he was telling me about Florida, and I love the Sun Belt part of the country for long-term investment, right? It's not just COVID hit and everyone's moving from New York City to Florida now. Like, this has been going on for decades and decades with a small hiccup back around that 2006 to 2010 era. We probably would have seen like a leveling off, or everyone was kind of staying put there. But the population and job migration alone makes Florida, in my eyes, a good place to buy real estate. And so when he introduced us and we got talking, he started telling me about the build new construction. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be getting some of this product myself. And I have a deal coming up where, it's one of those rentals I was talking about a moment ago, Greg. And she's moving out there like any day now. So I'm going to sell it, and the gain is probably going to be 40 or 50 grand. And so I'm just doing the math. I'm hoping I can do a 1031 exchange and then get into something here with you guys, timing wise, right away. Is that realistic, or are the new construction deals kind of like you got to put a deposit down and wait like 6 to 9 months for delivery? Like, what does the actual buy process for your inventory look like as far as timeline for your clients?
Another really great question. So many people, if they do source their own inventory, if they do build new construction, they sell it pre-construction to the client, which for you in your example, right, you don't want to sit around and wait 9 months after you put a binder deposit down to collect cash flow, right? That doesn't do anything for you. So to answer your question, no, that is not the case with JWB. We build the homes prior to our clients ever seeing them, so that when you know when we would be able to talk with you about helping you buy your first property in Jacksonville, that house is already going to be built. It's already going to have a resident in place. So it's literally right there, so you can be cash flow positive from day one, and you don't have to wait that 6 or 9 months like many folks have to do.
That's interesting. So do the tenants typically stay in your property? Like, how long is the length of stay? Are there 3 years, then they move, 5 years? You've got 15 years worth of data there to kind of know what the average is.
Yeah.
And is the average different on the new construction versus the renovated properties?
Our average length of stay is 54 months, which is just incredible. Not enough investors pay attention to average duration of length of stay, but it is the single greatest determinant to your success as a rental property investor. If you're a buy and hold investor, right? The longer your residence stays, the less maintenance costs, the less vacancy costs, the happier you're going to be. So our average is 54 months. The way that we do that is because we don't sign 1 year leases. You know, Dan, most property managers out there only sign 1 year leases, but if you need to get people to stay years and years and years, that's the single greatest determinant. Like I've learned with my own rental property portfolio, if you only sign 1 year leases, then you're just hoping that they re-sign every single year. You know, what we do is we sign 2 or 3 year leases. We don't offer 1 year leases. And so that makes it a lot harder for us to source residents. And we still get rent escalation as well as a part of the built-in 2 or 3 year lease. So that's how we can really win together, is making sure that property management serves the goals of the rental property investor. And unfortunately, most property management companies just don't do that. You know, so signing a 1 year lease is not the best thing for you as a rental property investor, because if that person moves out, you've got costs to go back into the house to fix it up. You've got tenant placement fees to pay that property manager again. And you got to still, of course, pay the mortgage while it's vacant. So yeah. And then your other question about, is there a difference between new construction and existing homes? No. We haven't seen a difference as far as rent of stay, average duration of length of stay.
Gotcha. One of the things that I think, you said a few moments ago, like before this question, but our own investment, right, my company, Diamond Equity Investments, we strive to kind of make a dent in the universe in a small way of each neighborhood where we do business. And we're concentrated in Philly, Chicago, and Atlanta, and we do like a 2-hour radius. So we don't have the same local impact that it sounds like you do in the four neighborhoods in Jacksonville. Although we are still making an impact, it's kind of like, it kind of feels like we're pouring water on, like a forest fire kind of, right? A little bit. And all of us real estate investors who are investing capital and we're bringing properties back to life, we're all doing that. That's kind of our function and our role. We take the risk with the capital, we get the reward. But I like the idea of being a part of JWB's kind of, you know, the impact and your commitment to stay local in Jacksonville and figure out, okay, what is next? And now all of a sudden, you know, it's new construction filling in these lots that were just vacant. And what's next after that? And you kind of got these shipping container apartment things coming, and that drive for innovation and commitment to the local. I think that's really cool. I mean, that's intentional, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about the effect that we as real estate investors can have on communities, and it is so impactful. I mean, it's not like you have to be in business for 15 years or go as strong as we do in our specific neighborhoods to see the impact, right? I remember when we were first starting, I mean, there were, you know, two houses that we bought on the same street. I still remember this. And, you know, we bought those houses and we turned the two eyesores on that street into wonderful homes. And this was way back when we were starting. So anybody can have this type of impact. And that changed that street dramatically. We had residents on that street thanking us because their kids felt safe going out to play on that street where they didn't before. And you know, the longer that you're in this game, the bigger the platform you have to make positive change like that. So we feel really blessed to be a big contributor to it here in Jacksonville. And I know, Dan, I'm sure you feel the same way. You know, we're all just trying to make a dent here and bring some positivity to these communities. And renovating and building new construction is one of the best things we can do.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We literally are, you know, to the neighbors who have that adjoining parcel, to the house that you, Greg, or you, the listener, are investing the capital, are losing sleep about when the weather changes, the hurricane comes, or the pipes are freezing. You got your construction materials in there. But, you know, you put all that aside, you know, you've made the investment and you saw the deal through all the way. And, you know, how much better does that neighbor feel? Even if they don't come out and say, oh, thank you, this is great. And they're probably yelling at you for all the noise over there, cursing you at some point. But like, you know, the end product is either some family moves in there, they're now celebrating the holidays there, and it's nice, you know, renovated house, or the homeowner that actually bought the property. I mean, think about the emotional charge of buying your first home that your family's going to move into. Like, these buyers are dreaming, hoping that you're going to accept their offer. You know, you make the offer.
Yeah.
They're stressed about the home inspection. They're hoping the deal doesn't blow up. They finally go to settlement, and they move in, and man, there's not much like that. Those first couple weeks when you like move into a new house, usually people are really charged, and we as real estate investors get to be a part of that. And it really is a cool thing.
It absolutely is. I mean, and you think about the wealth that as real estate investors we create, not just for ourselves but for others, right? When we can focus on a neighborhood, and we have an impact, a positive impact, we turn the worst houses in the neighborhood into the best houses. The wealth that we create for everybody living in that neighborhood can be substantial, because as property values go up, right, everybody in that neighborhood benefits from the equity that is building up. And then that can be passed along to their families for generations as well. So, I mean, you're right, man. We just have this incredible platform, and, you know, sometimes real estate investors get a bad rap. You know, and sometimes that's justified by other real estate investors, but there's a tremendous amount of good that we can do, that we all are doing.
Absolutely. So, Greg, what two books do you recommend most often? Doesn't necessarily have to be real estate related, to clients, to friends, whoever.
That would have to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad, number one. That's the one that everybody in my family and my friend circles are tired of me talking about, because, I give it to all of my nieces and nephews when they're, you know, when they're growing up. I've given it to all my aunts and uncles and parents and grandparents. I mean, everybody hears me talk about that one. It's on my nightstand for my 8-year-old daughter too. We read that one together.
Nice.
So I absolutely love that one. The other one that's really helped us grow, a business, and we're maturing as a business, right? We've been in for 15 years. They have 80 employees now. One that's really guided us is Good to Great by Jim Collins. And in our business, one of the terms we throw around the most is our hedgehog. And our hedgehog is the one thing that we are built to do. And of course, a hedgehog has survived for thousands of years by doing one thing. And you know, it curls up in a little ball and has its spikes. And that's what it does to survive. Well, in our business, our hedgehog is our turnkey rental properties and the property management that's coupled with it. And that's the reason that we're here today. It's the reason why we have all these amazing teammates now and we can do all of these wonderful things. And it's also the reason that we have an opportunity to do more innovative things. But we can never really get that twisted, right? Turnkey rental properties is the most important reason for us. It's the number one. It's the priority. And we learned that concept from Good to Great, which was written by Jim Collins.
Nice. So if you could go back and share the crown jewel of wisdom with yourself, let's say 2004, 2005, just to pick a date, what would that be?
Just get out there and try to sell something.
Nice.
You know, so many people are so concerned about failing that they don't let themselves get out there. And, you know, 2004 and 2005, I was 22 and 23 years old. I was a very different person. And at that age, I was tracking for corporate America. I was scared to be an entrepreneur. It never even considered across my mind until I kind of just didn't enjoy the corporate route. And I look back and I'm like, man, I just never would have gone out, tried to start a company, failed tremendously, done whatever, right? Tried to sell something, fall flat on my face. I never would have done that had I not gone through some tough times in my corporate job. But once I did that and then I got over that fear, man, that is the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And just simply going out there, especially as a young person, it applies if you're young or old, but especially as a young person, going out there, try to sell something, be an entrepreneur, or try. Who cares if you fail? Literally, it doesn't matter that much when you're 22 or 23.
Yeah, you're right about that. I always think back, I hear stories similar to yours where people had to walk away from somewhat successful lives or career paths that certainly had success in front of them, and they were doing the right thing all the way along. And like when I was 22, 23, you know, 2003, 4, 5, like I was a wreck, man. I like failed out of life, failed out of selling cars, like, you know, hooked on drugs, drinking, the whole nine. Like there was nothing there. It was like scorched earth. And I look back in like 2006, I remember I got clean, quit drinking, the whole thing, and real estate all came. I didn't have anything to go back. Like I was busy like the Vikings burning the boats on the shore. Like the boats were burned long before I was on some conquest. I was just standing there in the ash. So it's like not a big deal for me. Like I got to make real estate work because there's just nothing else. And, you know, and then I hear stories like yours where there's like this, you know, it's actually this decision to like let go of this other thing that is working and then move on to this new thing. And, you know, congratulations for that. I'm sure there's people listening who are in the process or have already made a similar thing where you've had to like switch gears intentionally. Whereas, you know, it was kind of like fate and destiny for me, like put the car in gear in the first place. So it's like, yeah, although I did it, I didn't have to leave behind this other potentially successful path. And I think that's pretty cool that you did it.
Well, hey, man, I think your story is pretty inspirational. I mean, I think it pales in comparison. My story pales in comparison to your story. And congratulations for working through those things. And, you know, for all of us out there, I mean, really, when you choose a path of like kind of getting over whatever that obstacle may be, and you know, for me it was a fear of failure. You know, the reward is not the money that comes with it. The reward is just the change of the outlook and how you think. You know, I think very differently. I'm sure, Dan, you think very differently now. And it's to a point where you can't go back to being that same person before, you know, but if you hadn't have tried to get out of that place that you were in, and if I hadn't tried to get out of the place that I was in, I would still be thinking that way, you know? So, I love your story, brother. That's pretty inspirational.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I would not go back and do it over. You know, there's a lot of other places, but you know, nor would I guess I change it because I came to a really good place and I'm blessed today. But, hey, we're just about at the end here. How can listeners go get more information about you or JW Real Estate Capital?
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity, Dan. It's been a blast. So if anybody would like to learn a little bit more about what we do and how to invest with us here in Jacksonville, Florida, you can go to our website, which is jwbrealestate.com. Or you can find me on social. We have a Facebook group that I go live in every single day, and would certainly invite you to be a part of that. You can go to our Facebook group at jwbfacebookgroup.com.
All right, cool. Well, hey, I appreciate you closing out the distractions. I know you're a busy guy, Greg. I had a blast. I'm sure the listeners did too. Thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks.
Off-market real estate deals. All of us real estate investors covet that rare, profitable off-market real estate deal, often bought with very little competition. The problem is many investors futilely try to develop their source of off-market deals through real estate agents or wholesalers, only to become frustrated when they discover that they are not the only buyer in that real estate agent or wholesaler's network. The only real way to have a consistent source of off-market real estate deals is to develop a business of attracting those deals. Enter the REI Deal Machine, originally developed as a resource for high-volume investors to build teams of drivers who are literally driving their market looking for rundown and distressed property. The REI Deal Machine simplifies the process of route tracking, lead generation, and literal push-button marketing to allow you to focus on the highest value skill set a real estate investor can build, and that is negotiating profitable real estate deals. For a limited time, you can register for free access to the REI Deal Machine at reidealmachine.com. You'll have a chance to play around with the system, take a demo, and actually begin using the app at no cost. So go register free right now at reidealmachine.com. And thank you for tuning in to this episode of the REI Diamond Show. Remember to review and subscribe on iTunes or whichever podcasting app you're using. Just search REI Diamonds and click subscribe. You can sign up to receive new episode notification emails at reidiamonds.com, as well as check out the 174 episode archive of wealth building real estate investment jewels of wisdom. I've made millions of dollars by using the wisdom shared on the REI Diamond Show over the last few years, and I hope you do too. That website again is reidiamonds.com. So my main business is buying and selling houses. 223 houses bought and sold in 2019, and 250 bought and sold so far in 2020. We have another 128 houses in our inventory, either under construction, for sale, or sold and awaiting closing. So here are three ways that you and I can do business. If you buy houses in Atlanta, Chicago, or Philadelphia, the 2-hour radius of either city, go to dealswithroi.com and sign up for the correct buyers list there. Note there are 5 lists in total, separated by region, so be sure to sign up for the area where you're interested in doing deals. Number 2, if you are an accredited investor and you'd like to fund a deal or many deals at double-digit returns, go to fundrehabdeals.com and sign up to receive private mortgage investment opportunity emails. Number 3, if you have a deal for sale, either in Atlanta, Chicago, or the Philadelphia region, please shoot me an email with the details. I am always buying houses. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Next up, we have commercial real estate developer and wealth manager Mike Brown, Red Fox Capital founder, joining us to discuss the current state of commercial real estate market, as well as where the opportunities can currently be found. I will catch you on the next one. Dan Breslin, signing off.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin. To receive email notifications of new weekly episodes, sign up at www.reidiamonds.com.